This is just it never was true. These are children's stories. And I had a hard time. And I had a hard time with the church because it felt like they were trying to have it both ways. When something good would happen, they would say, "Well, yeah, that's Jesus right there." And when something bad would happen, they would be like, "Well, he works in mysterious ways." Well, then how could you know what he does but also not know what he does? So I had this vision of what the church is, who God is, what life should be like. And when those things didn't match up, it would cause me to be fearful and be full of depression and sadness. Did that make sense? But I would argue that having faith isn't believing in something like Tinkerbell. Having faith is believing in the nature of God. My children, they don't believe that I'm going to get them everything that I want, but they believe that I love them and will care for them, and they are right. So they don't have faith that I'm going to give them V-Bucks. And then when I don't give them, V-Bucks are a form of digital currency that you waste on a free game called Fortnite, Daniel. And then when I don't give them V-Bucks, they think, "Oh, what a terrible father." They know that I love them and that I will provide for them and protect them. And so they have faith in the spirit and nature of their father. Did that make sense? So when I thought of God as this benevolent gift giver that I just had to pray to hard enough and he would give me the things that he wanted, that was a childish and erroneous vision. That makes sense? So I have faith in the Lord because I know that He is good. When something bad happens, I do not punish or blame it on the Lord. I look to Him for guidance because He will lead me through the difficult times and He will lead me through the good times. I have to be willing to be flexible and follow him. Does that make sense? My faith isn't that A, B, C will happen. My faith is that the Lord will lead me through the alphabet the way that I need to go. So if I believe that, "Lord Jesus, please let me go to all of Judy's volleyball games so I can see her grow up, so that I can be a good father, so she won't grow up and make terrible decisions." And then I don't get to go to the volleyball games, and then I think I'm not being a good father. She's gonna grow up and be the Lord, please help me be the kind of man that will draw my daughter to me constantly, looking, seeking, and finding guidance and love. And if I can be that man, then it doesn't matter about the volleyball games or what else happens in high school, because the connection that we have will be strong enough to withstand whatever it needs to withstand. My faith isn't in a predestined situation. My faith is in the nature of the Lord guiding me through, the GPS that will always help me get back on track. But if I'm going to be faithful in following the Lord, that means that I have to be willing to let go of what I think should happen. Let go of your clinging to what you think should happen. Let go of what you think God is and what you think He should do. Let go of who you think you are and what you think your life should be. Surrender to the will of the Lord and allow Him to lead you into every good thing He has in store for you. When I was a younger man, many of you know I made terrible, terrible decisions time and time again. And during that time, I was kind of so unconscious and not very thoughtful that I didn't really think about what was going to happen tomorrow or my impact. I was just in a haze of fear and sadness and anger and bitterness. Then when I started to get out of that phase, I had tremendous guilt and self-loathing. And I was carrying around all of this guilt. And so I'd be having a good day and I'd be in the shower and then I'd think of something stupid or something selfish that I had done. And it would just I would shudder with embarrassment. I don't know if you guys have ever had this situation. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? It could be something that happened 10 years ago. Some dumb thing I said at a party, and it would just be called back to my mind. Or I'd talk to somebody after they leave. I would think, what an idiot. Why did you do that? I was just carrying around this backpack full of heavy rocks. Why did I do that? Why didn't I do this? Why? And I carried it around for years because I felt that I needed to. I felt like I deserved it. I did these bad things, and you're getting what you deserve, Gabe. And to just let go of it would be somehow unfair. You do the crime, you got to do the time. And so for years and years and years, I carried around this guilt. People carry around all kinds of stuff. They carry around their fears of the future. They carry around their regrets or their blame of the past. If Dad hadn't done this, if only my teacher had done this, if only my wife would have said this, what's going to happen in the future? And we just walk around with these huge bags of rocks weighing us down. But you don't have to. You really don't have to. It began to dawn on me that I could just take off that backpack and put it on the ground and let go. I'm free. I'm no longer that man. And by holding on to it, I keep one foot on the base of the person who Gabriel Frazier was. But I don't need to do that. The Lord has forgiven me. I'm free. I can walk, shoulders back, chest out. What weights are you carrying? What fear is holding you back? What regrets? You are free. And when Jesus makes you free indeed. Matthew 12, chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. But Jesus, aware of this, so he's talking to the Pharisees. It's not going well, as is usually the case. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all and warned them not to tell of who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. So in the past, when they had oil lamps, you would put in a little wick, and then when the oil lamp is running out, it's just barely smoldering. The Spirit of the Lord is gentle, it's kind, and it's loving. He won't break a bruised reed. He won't put out a smoldering wick. So if you are feeling tense, then that is not the Spirit of the Lord. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Somehow we got it in our heads that we need to feel guilt and punish ourselves. But like the prodigal son, if you follow the Holy Spirit, he welcomes you back with open arms and rejoices because the lost person is now found. Now that I have been a pastor for a few years, I get a lot of meetings and I have a lot of conversations with people. And we talk about like the nature of the Lord, and we talk about the nature of existence and all of those things. And I find myself talking with people, and they often think in grandiose terms. You know, the meaning of life, and they think of universal epic ideas. But what if it's much simpler than that? What if maybe you've put this whole idea that your life has to be Superman, and that following the Lord is this grand crusade? What if following the Spirit of the Lord was something that's easy and gentle, like walking with a person who loves you and who guides you? What I want to try and do is, when I'm seeking the Lord, I want to be aware of my thoughts and behaviors. And if I'm acting in a way that's not kind and gentle and loving, then those are indicators that I'm not following the Lord the way that I should. That makes sense. The Spirit of the Lord is gentle, kind, and loving. If you are wound up tight with worry, fear, and anger, then you need to let go. I talked with Emilio once, and he was talking about it's like a fist, and then you unclench your fist. We're wound up tight. I have business meetings with Daniel, and we're figuring out the school, and we're thinking about money. And I find myself thinking, where are we going to get the money? And we're stressed out. How are we going to do this? These are people's jobs, man. We got to do this. Clench up tight. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. And that's not the way I'm going to save the school. I'm not going to be able to grit my teeth and squeeze it to being right. And when I go in and I'm talking to people in a spirit of wound up tightness, they can feel it. And guess what happens? They become the same way. When I approach my children in something that they haven't done, and I'm grinding my teeth, how many times have I told you? Don't you know what I have to do? Is it too much to ask that clenched fist of justice causes them to react in a way that's clenched? But when I can be a person who is in the Spirit of the Lord, then when I talk to them, they will react because the same Spirit is in them. Lord, please help me to talk to my children about cleaning their room. And then when I go and approach them, they're able to accept it. It's the same thing. It's the same message. It's just the Spirit of the Lord that's changed. So, being able to let go. Have a drink of water. A little heartburn, I'm sorry. Got my hair cut too short, that's why. Speaking of unclenching, well, we're going to Washington, D.C. next week, and it's going to be like 83 degrees, 85 degrees. On the East Coast, that's muggy. If you've ever been to the northeast of the United States, terrible. I'm just joking. I have a friend who's from Maine. We're going to the East Coast, and so I wanted to get a little time. So we got to let go. There's a saying that I've heard so many times, it's almost lost any meaning, but it is very, very true. Christians often say, and I have heard and agree with them, let go and let God. But it's one of those things that you hear so many times that you don't even really know what it means. You have this vision of what you believe the Lord wants for you. And maybe he does, and maybe he doesn't. But I have this vision that the Lord wants me to fill this church up with people. And then when I come and there's just six people, then I think to myself, oh, but that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants to call me closer and closer and closer to him. And then if and when I do that thing, anything else may also happen. And so when I shift my perspective and let go of this idea that I gotta be the greatest pastor ever, and then I come in, and I knew it gave you suck. But I let go. Lord, help me, lead me, help me to follow you. Help me to have ears to hear. Help me have eyes to see. In those circumstances, the world gets better and better and better and better. I feel like I come here and say the same thing every week. But if I could show you, if I could find a chart or a pie graph that showed you the life that I had and the life that I have now, you would drop everything that you're doing. If I could somehow make a video that effectively communicated what the Lord has done for me and showed it to the people at Trader Joe's, they wouldn't need to smoke weed to get through a shift. That's not a judgment on them. That's a judgment on me. Because I couldn't get through life without some kind of anger or frustration for years and years and years. And now that I've done it, I think to myself, how on earth did I go through my life carrying around that baggage? And it makes me want to talk about it everywhere. And it gives me faith in the Lord, because now that I know that my success in life is not dependent on things out there, but my connection with the Lord, then I have faith that he will lead me where I want to go. If you spoke to 25-year-old Gabe and said you will be teaching middle schoolers and a pastor of a Baptist church, I would have jumped off a bridge. Because 25-year-old Gabe had a vision of what success meant, and it wasn't that. But the Lord led me through, and he's continuing to lead me through. So when I think of my children going to college and going to high school, when I think of my beautiful little blonde girl going around people that I don't know, I start to cringe. But then I remember, the Lord is faithful. Follow him, Gabriel, and she will come to you. And then you don't need to go to Venice and spy on all the people she's hanging out with. Like, Jude, if you have a boyfriend, then I'll kill him and I'll go to jail and it'll be all your fault. I didn't say that. But I don't need to be worried about that, because the Lord leads me and my children are coming closer and closer and closer. And the reason that I bring them up all the time is because that wasn't always the case. I wasn't the father that I needed to be, and I would stress and worry, and then when I would try and tell them, they couldn't hear it. But I have faith in the Lord, and as they see the shift in my life, then they begin to think, what does he have? He has something that I want. Aiden can see the peace of mind that I have, and he comes and speaks to me, where before I had to track him down like that dude from Jurassic Park hunting raptors. Dr. Pepper, half empty, he's close. But now he comes, it's changed my whole life. I've let go and let God. I seek him on a daily basis. I step back and try and look at my life and thoughts and actions. Gabriel, are you being a positive, loving man at Trader Joe's right now? Yes? Awesome, keep going. If you're complaining to your coworker about how the manager is being an idiot, then no, you're not. John chapter 14, I'm gonna speed up. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus is getting ready to depart. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak to you much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. The world's not going to give you that peace. I'm going to give it to you. The Father sent me, and I do what he says. He tells me, I tell you. There's a chain of causality. Those of you who know about science, a chain of causality. If this, then this. If you follow the Lord, then there will be peace. If you do not, then there will not be. The peace I give to you, I leave it with you. If you will follow him, the peace isn't going to come through a new car, a new job, a new person. It's not going to come from a new TV, a new video game. The peace comes from the Lord. The reason that Jesus lived such a remarkable life is because he tells us plainly, I only ever do what I see the Father doing. He is in me and I am in him. We are the one. So to the degree that I can do that, then I become bulletproof. I'm like the Terminator walking into the police station. I don't have to worry about the job. I don't have to worry about any of those things, because when I follow the Lord, he will show me. That doesn't mean that I have to ignore my bills. He will teach me how to pay them. He will teach me how to be more organized, how to be more sensible. He will teach me, lead me, and grow me into the person that I need to be for any situation. And I have faith in that fact. And so I don't need to worry about how many people are in the pews or how my kids are going to grow up. I have faith in him. It's the rock. It's the foundation. It's under the ground, so you can't see it. You think you know how it's going to be, and then when it doesn't turn out, you think, I knew it. And you sell yourself short. But he will not fail you if you stick with him. John chapter 5 is the last one. Verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. You can tell. If I'm up here speaking and you're falling asleep, then the helper is not convicting you. But when I say something that is in accordance with the Spirit of the Lord, you can feel it. Boom, that's right. And it could come from anywhere. It could come from an 18-year-old Venice football player at the end of a shift at Trader Joe's, when you're feeling down about yourself and he says, hey man, you're a good guy, you're a good father, and I want to be like that. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through Christian right to Gabriel Frazier to save me when I needed it. He leads me. He will lead you. Have faith in him. The wind will blow. The waves will crash. But he will not leave you as orphans. You got to find a way to get close to him. It's like the whole time he was calling me. Yeah. I got to do stuff over here. Gabe, come back. You got to come over here. No, but I think I should go. For years and years and years. And then I thought, see, there is no God. How would a good God do this? How would a good God do this? Darcy is a good person and she's gone. Gabe is a bad person and he's here. That is evidence. Wrong, wrong. He saved me, and he saved her, and he will save you if you follow him, if you listen to him. He will lead you through whatever it is you are going through. Have peace in your heart. Because he is the good shepherd. But we are often sheep. And I wander off to the wolves. He's got a shepherd crook me back into. But I'm getting better and better and better. And so are you. So are we. We are becoming and will continue to become like him who sent us. If we are willing to follow him. This week, be mindful, be aware, get your prayer times in, and then during the day, be mindful to look at your life, to look at your actions, to look at your emotions. Am I following the Lord right now? If you're feeling upset, if you're feeling tense and nervous, I would argue that that is evidence that you are not. But if you are feeling peace, and when you are not feeling peace, that's the time to pray. If you are feeling upset, if you're feeling anxiety, that's the time to pray. Find ways and means. Learn how to cut time out of your day. One of the ways that I do it when I'm at Trader Joe's using Trader Joe's a lot like usual. Last night I was at register and there's all these people coming through and we're bagging the groceries and talking about crazy weather we're having out there. Oh yeah, it was sunny all week, but now it's rainy on the weekend. Yeah. And then after we go through, I can kind of feel myself getting bored or getting anxious or thinking like, oh my gosh, is the day almost over? But I've gotten better at realizing that about myself. And when I do, I take a moment, I take a deep breath, and I ask the Lord, please help me, Lord. And then I remind myself, I've got no place to be. I'm thinking like, oh, I just got to get through this dumb shift and then I can be happy at home. But no. Thank you, Lord. And then right there, Trader Joe's, the next person comes up. Hey, crazy weather we're having on. It's not dependent on what's going on out there. The Lord will save you if you have faith in him. Faith comes through prayer. Find ways and means to do it, and he will deliver you. Be blessed this week. Be blessed in your job. Be blessed in your marriage, in your children, in your cars, and your bills. Be blessed. Be at peace. Let go and let God help you out of your situation. And come back next week and tell me all about it, because it is the best Sunday ever. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes, we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your spirit. Help us this week, Lord. Teach us. Guide us. Help us to be disciples of you. Help us to find ways and means to connect and tap into your spirit. Help us to be the loving, kind, and peaceful people that you would have us be. Attune us to your spirit so that we can see when we aren't being. And when we are, help us to glory and revel in it, like David dancing through the halls. Protect us from the enemy. Heal us when we're sick. And bring us back next week filled with the good news of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.